some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. It's a Thursday show, and we're going to have Hollywood filmmaker Robert Hensley joining us in just a little bit. He's got a new film that he's going to be talking about called Home to Roost, and I can't wait to share the information with you. But our final show of the week, the Friday Night Dance Party, is going to be live on Friday morning, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11 a.m. We are going to have the Friday Dance Party at 9 a.m. We're going to have UK youthful superstar. I say he's youthful because he's a good kid. He's got a great voice. His stage name is MDXP, and his real name is Danny, but his stage name is MDXP. So I guess we're going to find out first and foremost, because we've been chatting on email for the last several weeks, if I get to call him Danny or if we refer to him as Sir MDXP. I guess we're going to find out, but we've got new music from him. I may even try to do a little sneak preview tonight, if we have time, of a song or two that we might be hearing tomorrow during the Friday Dance Party, which will be loads and loads and loads of fun. I cannot wait to have that young man on the show. And we're doing the show at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time tomorrow because he's going to be live in the UK. It's going to be 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday when we do the show at 9 a.m. here in California. The reason we do this is because if I did the show at 7 p.m. for a Friday night dance party, it would be 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. England time. And, well, actually, for musicians, they would probably still be wide awake at that point. But my goal is to make sure that we have people live and fresh and ready to go and be excited about their music. And MDXP is going to be doing all of that. So anytime we do the Friday Night Dance Party, it just ends up being earlier. It really tends to be just because we want to make sure the guest is, fresh and lovely. Same thing's going to be the case next Friday as well. We're going to have Mr. Jordan Adams in the UK. I don't know what it is about the UK. It's the UK and Australia. I love you all. But it's the UK and Australia where we're just getting all of our guests recently or lately. And we're going to have Mr. Jordan Adams. You'll know that we've been playing a couple of his songs throughout the show. I say the Friday Night Dance Party, but the truth is sometimes I play music on other nights of the week. Not often, but sometimes I do. And his song Hold On is brand new on the UK charts. It's just going crazy. And then he's got another song that I've been playing called Be My Love. Both are extremely pop friendly, so I love playing them here on the show. But Jordan Adams will be the guest on August 21st. That's a week from tomorrow. But tomorrow morning, MDXP is our VIP special guest star. So without further ado, I think I'm going to press a couple of the phone buttons here and see if we've got Mr. Robert Hensley joining us. Robert, how are you tonight?
Hello, hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for being part of Rated G Radio. I am thrilled that you're here to talk about your movie. I went on to your website for the movie a little bit earlier, so I've been trying to do a little bit of research, but I've got all kinds of questions for you. But before we get to any and all of that, how was your day?
It's great. I'm on set working on another movie right now, and we're actually just in between some scenes, so this works out perfectly. I've been on set all day, so it's great.
So I'm going to ask you in a little bit, what is your, what's life like, behind the scenes doing what you're doing now compared to what you're doing and how has it helped you? But can you tell us what you're working on, or is it like top secret?
No. I'm working on a film called Trafficked, written by Siddharth Khara and directed by Will Wallace, with Ann Archer and Ashley Judd and Elizabeth Rome and Courtney Gaines and Patrick Duffy and Zach McGowan. It's got a great cast, and it's a pretty intense drama. It's about human trafficking and kind of the sex slave trade around the world, and the production is really trying to portray this in the most realistic light as we can without kind of beating people over the heads with it. It's a great project, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. And I'm the makeup department head on this shoot.
I love that. So for everybody who is coming into this new, and I'm, you know, we've been for it, here's the nice thing about this show. It's the 7 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon or Patrick Duffy or anybody else that's out there like that. But you and I have been friends on Facebook for a hot minute. So we've known each other socially on Facebook, but we've never met yet face to face. Hopefully we'll have
not
that
yet.
Corrected very, very quickly. But I have all of these fascinating people like you, Robert, who do one thing connected to the industry, and yet you're also working on several other things. So since this is our first chance to actually chat live, and you know, I get to hear your smile and your voice and the excitement of being on set, what do you do as being the head of the makeup department for a movie like this?
Oh, wow. a lot of it has to do with kind of organizing the makeup crew, the hair crew, making sure that we have exactly what we need, that we understand what each day is going to hold for us as far as, you know, what they send out on the call sheet, what the schedule of the day is. Making sure that we have someone watching set while there are other artists, making sure that the actors ready to go on are ready, and making sure that we have the right tools, that we're on top of all of the notes from the director. Does this person get a tattoo? Do they not have a tattoo? Are they deciding that this person should have a different color hair? You know, so it's really just kind of staying on top of kind of the creative side and also kind of the organizational side for our department.
You have to be really organized for that. How many people do you have working in your department on a movie like this?
On this particular project, we have four. So there's myself, there's Key Hair, which is Lizzie Ramirez, and then I'm working with two other makeup artists, Valerie and Maria, who come in and help us on the days when we have a lot of traffic coming through.
And so how early does your day actually start?
Well, today actually didn't start as early as as you would think. We're actually shooting nights right now, so our days usually start sometime around like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we'll shoot until around 2 o'clock in the morning. And by the time we wrap up and get out of here, we've probably been on set, but from like 1:30 to like 3 o'clock.
Oh my gosh, that's a long day. Well, so I'm catching you kind of like a pass. You still got a little vim and vigor with you. Well, let's because I will ask. Here's the deal. I'm going to ask you back for another time to talk about all of the other stuff that, you know, like the horror stories, the fun things. But we're really here today to talk about your movie called Home to Roost, and it's a movie that you're raising money for right now, and you have all kinds of neat things to tell people about it. So, what is Home to Roost, and why do people want to know about it?
All right, so Home to Roost is, because in the midst of all the other stuff that I do, I'm also a published playwright and an author, and I've turned my attention to kind of writing screenplays, and Home to Roost is the first screenplay really that I've written where I felt that I connected with it enough that I wanted to tell the story to others, and then luckily have had an opportunity to share the screenplay with others, and they wanted to be a part of it and tell the story as well. So it's the it's a contemporary homecoming story. It's about a famous graphic novelist who ran away from home about 20 years ago, and he hasn't been back to this rural town that where he grew up. And he kind of felt that like no one would really miss him. Like he always felt like he was kind of on the outside anyway. But then his brother commits suicide and he has to go back. And in going back, he has to face, his first love who he ran away from. And he has to face, the hatred and bigotry that exists in a small town towards, the gay and lesbian community. And he also, probably worse, is he has to deal with his family.
And so in writing this, Robert, is there any part of this that's autobiographical, or is this just a complete work of fiction that you just said, I got a creative idea in my head and I'm going to sit down and write out this movie?
They say that you write what you know. It's not autobiographical at all, but there are definitely certain situations and certain aspects of the lead character who that do kind of – kind of lent them my story for that part. but really, I think that it was more about writing something that could connect with people on a more universal level. I feel like there are a lot of people, gay, straight, transgender, whatever, who feel that they're on the outside looking in their lives and that they don't fit in somewhere, so they're always kind of searching and trying to find a place where they belong. And in my case, I feel like, at some point you realize that maybe where you started wasn't so bad, you just didn't understand or know how to appreciate it or know how to navigate it at that time.
Can I tell you one of the things that I love about your movie poster is the tagline here, hometown heroes don't know they are if they never come home. And I kind of goosebumped when I read that, and I was like, wow, that's really profound. So what is your background? I mean, where did you come from and all of that to get you out to Hollywood to, you know, start writing, you know, dynamic projects like Home to Roost?
I grew up in a really, really small town, a very rural town, about an hour and a half outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And growing up, I was hooked on Hollywood. I loved television shows. I loved movies. I loved the idea of working with celebrities and, you know, around cameras and lights. And, you know, I was totally starstruck from a really early age. And then as soon as I could figure out how to get off the farm and into the world, that's where I went.
So did you go to college or take writing courses? Or when did you have, like, the bug? Did you always know that you were going to be a writer?
No, not at all. I wanted to be a costume designer. So I actually, 3 days after graduation, I was on a plane to L.A. and I started, I attended FITM for a while. And then I kind of found other things that interested me. So I went back to school and studied production design and special effects and then came back to L.A. and then took some time off and started playing with the idea of being a writer for a little while. And then worked a bunch of other really crazy jobs that, I don't know, they've all just kind of culminated into this little life that I have now, which I love.
I love it. So is this the first screenplay that you've written, or do you have other things that you've written before this that, you know, you just haven't seen the light of day with yet?
No, the first thing that I wrote for the screen was a short film called Texas Toast, which was produced by Allison Faust and a Faust in the House Productions. It was starring Chris Mulkey and Nicole Travolta, Joe Nafo, Tucker Smallwood. And that was really kind of the first time that I'd seen kind of anything that I'd written for the screen kind of actually be shot. And that's available on Amazon.
Well, so we have to go out and buy that. And what's the name of that again, Texas Toast?
Texas Toast.
Okay, so we always say we've got to support the cause. We've got to move some merch when people come onto the show, Robert. So getting back to Home to Roost, though, so what, you know, since this is really your baby and, you know, this is something that you're creating from the ground floor and you're going to have your fingerprints all over this, you know, can you talk a little bit about, because I'm going to ask in, you know, different categories of the actual film, but can you talk about why it's so important to have the right cast and who you've got kind of lined up or at least interested in doing the movie with you?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think, I mean, for me, when I was writing, I didn't necessarily have particular actors in mind for particular roles. I mean, every now and then I would type something and I'd be like, oh, I could hear so-and-so saying that. But I didn't want to write with any specifics in mind. And it wasn't until I had really kind of taken the screenplay and we did a reading. And then once I heard it being read, then the characters kind of started growing a little more, and I could kind of see different actors in those roles. And I really was hoping that I would be able to, you know, it's Hollywood, you know, you want to be able to approach actors and have them tell you that your writing is fantastic and that they want to be involved. luckily, that's kind of what happened. There were particular actors that I thought would be perfect in particular roles, and you know, I reached out to my first choice for Bird, which was Kit Williamson, who wrote East Siders and who's been on Mad Men and, you know, this great actor. And, you know, he read it, connected with it, felt that it was very close. There were some very cool similarities between his life story and the story of the main character. Same thing kind of went with you know, the character for, you know, with Deanne, Lily Holloman. You know, we kind of sat down and had breakfast and talked about this character, and there were so many things that she wanted to explore, and she knew girls that were very, very similar to this, and she wanted to kind of dig into that, and that was fantastic. Nathan Sapsford, who is probably best known as an MTV VJ in Australia,
cool.
Was the guy that we chose. You know, he you know, sitting down with him, he was one of the, he was one of my top choices for the role of Danny, and he just bought it. Like, he so totally understood the character. It was more like he was telling me about Danny than I was telling him. And he's kind of fearless about, like, wanting to really kind of delve into there, into the story and into the character of Danny and understand who he is. And then Ingrid Sonicson, who was actually one of my mentors in high school. She was a professor of acting at Carnegie Mellon, and I've always, always wanted to work with her. And the role of May, like, she came, she happened to be in town, so she was able to do the reading, and the minute I heard her voice and saw her sitting across the table from me reading this part, I knew that she was it. and she has graciously accepted the role.
That is very cool. Now, you have a very specific idea about where you want to shoot the film. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it around the small town where I grew up. And there are some very specific things that are, you can't just kind of put it anywhere. Like, like the quality of light is different, the people, the quality of the architecture, the trees are different from anything that we have here on the West Coast. So it really needs to be that little small town on the Eastern Seaboard. We want to shoot it during the fall. And part of that is that, you know, there's this fantastic transition in the late summer, early fall of, you know, the trees going from this lush green into these, like, kind of golds and reds. And it kind of mirrors the transition that... that transition of the characters from one chapter in their lives to something else. And I really want to capture that.
Robert, I like that you're being symbolic with us. So how long have you been working on this and to get it up to this point? Because the next thing you have to do is raise the money or finish raising the money for it, and then you go into production. So, you know, this is a big, long, you know, this is not just something you decided to do last week. So what kind of a time investment have you put into this?
We are at the 9 month mark.
Wow.
So it really does feel like you're, like, waiting for a baby to come. I mean, we did our first reading. Well, I mean, the script was kind of, like, locked in and locked down in January. We did the first reading, end of February, early March, and then, did some revisions, hired some professional readers, got notes, revised a little more, and then really felt like we were at a place where we could start moving forward or start thinking about producing this probably April, May. And then I had to start looking for and trying to find, again, a cast who would agree to come in and more than anything, kind of connect with the story enough to want to be involved without having a budget in place. And the same thing with a crew. You know, you kind of want to work with people that you've worked with before and who you know that you work really well with and that have a really great understanding of what you're trying to accomplish. So kind of all of that has happened in the past couple of months, you know, putting together the cast and putting together a key crew and knowing that you're ready to, you know, that you're ready to kind of approach people to start asking for money and to start putting together a project and basically be rejected a lot.
How does that feel? I mean, you know, because, you know, going through the rejection process, you know, how many no's do you get before you get a yes?
You know, surprisingly on this, we've had a lot more yeses than there have been no's, which is great.
That's cool.
You know, the other thing that I realized kind of working this is that, you know, you have to ask to get a yes. I mean, otherwise it's all no.
Right.
You know, so you've got to be really bold and you've got to really kind of stand your ground and believe in what you're asking for and hope that you can get other people to understand how important this is to you and why it should be important to viewers and, you know, hope that people kind of connect and, you know, feel that this story entertains them or moves them in some way. That's the hardest part is just kind of gathering that courage and being centered and focused within yourself and know that this is the story that you need to be telling right now.
So, Robert, for the movie Home to Roost, if you were going to compare it to, let's say, two movies out there, just to kind of give listeners a flavor of what they might expect, what would you tell them? It's kind of like this and it's kind of like that.
It's in the vein of Sweet Home Alabama. And then, you know, if somebody kind of deep fried a little bit of Sordid Lives on the side, that would be good. You know, so there's some craziness, there's some zaniness to it, you know, but it also has a lot of heart.
Well, and I think that just speaks for the commitment that you're putting into this, Robert. That just seems natural here. So let's get down to brass tacks, because you're on set.
Sure.
You can't spend the entire hour with me. I would love to do that, and I would check you up. But he's like, I've got to eat. I've got to go to the bathroom. I've got to do all these. So let's, for the next couple of minutes, talk about how people can help support the movie and how much money you're looking to raise. How much? What do you need to make this happen? $8 million, $10 million, $15 million? What's the budget?
$150,000.
Hey, that's not bad.
I know, right? It was written for a modest budget. It's really something that, you know, when you're filming on location on the East Coast and in small towns, you know, the cost of living is so different than here in Los Angeles. So you can really kind of stretch that budget a long way. So it was written to kind of take advantage of that. $150,000 is what we need to get us from pre-production all the way through post.
Wow.
If we had $80,000 right now, we could go into pre-production and shoot the entire thing. It's an abbreviated shoot schedule. We're looking at, you know, 14 days from start to finish.
Oh, that's not bad.
And so the way that people can support us, there are a couple of ways. One is, you know, look for us on Twitter at @Home2RoostMovie. You can look for us on Facebook, Home to Roost Movie. You can share our web link, which is, bit.ly/home2roostmovie. Go to the website, share that, tell your friends about us, tell your friends that we need money. That's one way. The second way is to, again, go to social media, like us, tag us, share us. And, you know, and the third way is it's kind of like, you know, putting together a combo at a fast food place. You can tell everybody and tag us and give us money. That's kind of the best way.
That's always very cool.
Right. And we've decided to go, you know, not necessarily not do Kickstarter and not do Indiegogo. And not because those aren't great platforms. They're fantastic. However, you know, they take a little bit of a commission on the money that you raise. And right now that means not only would you have to raise the $150,000, but you'd have to raise beyond that in order to get what you really need.
Yeah, it's like $165,000 or something like that. So it's just, you know, cutting to the chase.
Yeah, so I figure, you know, I'm a man of my word, so if I promise people that I'm going to give them a perk, I'll give you the perk. So we've, you know, on the website, we've set up, you know, a list of some pretty cool perks. You know, there are a couple of custom props that we need for Home to Roost, and Jeremy Cruz, who owns Toe Tag Effects, he's known for really morbid, crazy stuff, but he's also a really, really talented sculptor, and there wasn't really anyone that I could think of that I would want to create these props for me. Like, he's created a custom paperweight, so if you give us $100, you get, you know, like, a bunch of stuff plus this really cool paperweight that's an original cast from one of his sculptures. And, you know, we've got lunch with members of the cast. We've got a digital newsletter. You know, as a makeup artist, I make custom lip colors. And so I designed a color specifically for our fundraising campaign. So you can also get, like, you know, this custom color that's only available during the fundraiser.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, so
now,
we've got some
cool
stuff to give away.
You also have something else that was very intriguing to me, is that if people donate to your movie, I think a little birdie told me it's also tax deductible. I don't know how you're wrangling that, but I'm very intrigued.
It is. Well, because there's this thing called fiscal sponsorship, which is when a production company has a charitable arm to their business, they can take you under their wing and collect money on your behalf which will allow you to offer a tax deduction for that donation.
I love that. And so,
From the Heart Productions is our sponsor. So basically, when you go to our website and you click on the donate button, you're actually donating to the charitable arm of From the Heart Productions. And then From the Heart Productions then gives us the money that they collect on our behalf.
Right on.
Yeah, so make the donation and you get a little email that tells you thank you for your donation and here's your tax deductible receipt and all that stuff.
I think that's awesome. Robert, I know you need to go. So, I mean, otherwise I'm going to chew your ear off for the next half hour. any final words of wisdom or things you'd like to tell the listeners tonight before I shamelessly promo everything that you're doing right now?
Number one, thank you so much for having me on the air.
You betcha.
And number two, please, when it comes out, look for Trafficked with Ann Archer and Ashley Judd. It's a fantastic, I think everyone's really going to want to see this and talk about it. It's one of those films that you're going to want to discuss. And then also, please, visit the Home to Roost website, visit us on Facebook. If you can, make a donation. If you know some friends who have a little extra money sitting around, tell them to make a donation. It's all greatly appreciated. And as you mentioned, you can write it all off.
I love that. Robert, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule. I wish you luck. We're going to sit down and split a leaf of lettuce and share a cup of water one of these days very, very soon. So I'm going to send you back off to the movie set, and thank you very much for being here on the show.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Thanks very much. Everybody else, I want to let you know that we're going to play little Jordan Adams. And again, this is our VIP guest star next Friday. So I'm giving you like a sneak preview, but this is the song that's burning up the charts right now in the UK. We're going to come back after this, talk a little bit about Jordan, talk about our show tomorrow, and all the cool things that are going on in the world. And if you have a request or a topic you'd like to chat about, the phone lines are open, 323-657-1493. Is the hotline. I'm also on the Blog Talk chat room, but I'm also taking all of your notes here on Facebook Instant Message. So if you want to chit-chat with me or ask a question or just, tell me some smart-ass remark, do that. I'm live right now. Here's Jordan Adams. Hold on.
All these ways I've grown.
Okay, so we've got a bunch of – number one, I need to go back. I'm going to sit here and jump 14 spaces ahead. You would have thought that I've had iced tea or coffee or something tonight, but that has not been the case. I'm drinking a very watered-down fourth major mug of orange tea that's non-caffeinated. And I'd say it's watered down because I had one major mug of it, and about halfway down I went and filled it back up, drank that down before the show, and I went and filled it back up. And so I'm about a third of the way down. And that's off of a single tea bag. I have other tea bags. I really could go and put fresh tea in this. I just wanted to have warm water, and that's usually what I have. It's or warm lemon water when I do the show, just so I can have something, you know, to sip on in case, you know, I get a peanut cut in my throat or something. Hey, tomorrow night, this is kind of a new, and if you're into this, okay. And number one, I got to tell you, you got to be willing to drink the Kool-Aid. I drink all of the Kool-Aid. I drink every flavor of the Kool-Aid now that I live here in California. But if you're willing to drink the Kool-Aid, tomorrow night, recent Rated G radio guest, Adrienne Blackwell, she is a she likes to call herself like an energy healer. Now, if you want to be a Doubting Thomas, that's quite all right. I don't require that you buy into the Kool-Aid flavors like I do, but I am telling you, I buy into the Kool-Aid flavors. And I've shared this story with you before. Before I moved to California 5 years ago, I was a very starchy suit and tie, short hair, you know, my posture's perfect kind of guy who would only eat a steak or a hamburger or pizza, would never do anything fun in life, and was as boring as a rock. A pet rock would have been an upgrade for me. And when I came out to California, you know, I had a neighbor that had crystals. So now I have, you know, crystals, and I believe that they have different energy healing properties. I wear magnetic jewelry because it stimulates the circulation. I have this new thing that I have. It's called the swinger. And it's not like a 60s swinger where you put your car keys in a bowl and then fish around and see what's going to happen. It's this thing that you rest your ankles on, and it swings your ankles back and forth as you're lying down on a flat surface, and it helps align your spine. It's called the Qi machine, C-H-I, the Qi machine, and it gets your Qi in alignment and gets your blood oxygenated. I love essential oils. I love my psychic friends. I love my my theta energy healing friends. So I'm open to all of this stuff because I really think that there's probably more to life than just, you know, my old way of thinking, and I'm just open to it. Does that make it all right? I don't know. You know, you don't have to like what I do, and I don't have to like what you do either. Hopefully, you know, if you're listening to the show, you're probably open to at least hearing about it. So that's my, you know, 15-minute introduction here. But Adrienne Blackwell is having an Expedite Your Spiritual Growth webinar and healing. That's tomorrow night. If you want to find out more information about it, I do have it posted on my Facebook page. If we are not friends on Facebook yet, why not? You need to friend request me. I'm at The Garrett Miller. You'll see my black and white picture on there. And I tend to leave my picture up for a little bit of time. And this one I kind of like. So I'm going to leave it up there. And it has Straight Outta Blonde as the, you know, kind of like the caption on the picture. That's the play on that movie Straight Outta Compton that's coming out tomorrow, I think. So my take on it is Straight Outta Blonde. So if we're not friends on Facebook yet, friend request me. And then you can see all of these things that I'm talking about. And we'll just make it easy. But Adrienne Blackwell has this energy healing that she does. And I've actually got three programs that she has offered. Two of them are free. You can go to YouTube and look for Adrienne Blackwell Shift Your Reality Healer. There's one that gets your chakras in alignment, and there's another one that helps heal or repair your ego. Both of those are free of charge. And I don't have the links on my Facebook page, but if you just go to YouTube and look for Adrienne Blackwell, there's one for healing your chakras, and there's another one for healing your ego. You have to drink the Kool-Aid when you jump into this to, you know, have the belief and the faith that they're going to do something for you. And I do. And I've had a nice conversation with Adrienne before. Adrienne's going to be coming back onto the show, let's see, on Monday the 24th. So in a couple of weeks she'll be back. And then she's going to be back at Christmas time. But she is doing this event tomorrow night. Again, Expedite Your Spiritual Growth webinar and healing. You can find out the link on my Facebook page. It's at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, here's the cool thing. Adrienne really has her heart in the right place, and she wants to offer this to everybody, and she's doing the event by donation only. That means that if you feel like participating, but you don't have a dollar and you just can't spare it, she wants you to take advantage of this healing. She wants to make sure this is available. Now, if you have a dollar or $5 or $25 or $50 or $100 and you feel like donating, then please donate and help support the cause. She's doing this out of, you know, the kindness of her heart. This helps, you know, pay her light bill and puts food on her table and all of the things that you want to have done when you're helping people. And that's Adrienne Blackwell. So tomorrow night, again, 6 p.m. Pacific time, Expedite Your Spiritual Growth webinar and healing. One of the things that I find interesting about how she does what she does is that people, when they are doing healing or work with you, they will be talking to you during the course of it, because silence, like on a radio show, is deadening. Watch this. I'm going to stop talking for 5 seconds. I don't even know if I can do that, but I'm going to count. That's a long 5 seconds without any noise coming through. Maybe you heard my water fountain outside that has, you know, cascading little water that, you know, helps keep the noise of the neighborhood down for the dogs, so the dogs aren't barking all day. I don't know. I don't know if you heard anything at all. All I heard was silence. But when Adrienne does her healing, she does this process where she kind of explains, you know, here's what we're going to do, here's why we're going to do it, and then she'll say, okay, just sit back and relax. And then there's like minutes of silence, because what she calls it downloading the healing. And she would have to explain all of that to you. But again, this is part of the, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. Do you buy into it? So she has that one. And then she has a second one, and that one's about 8 or 9 minutes. And then she has a second one that's around, I think, 15 or 20 minutes, about the ego and getting the ego healed. And she explains all of that too. So I'm not here to try to put words in her mouth or try to tell you all of the things. I'm just telling you, these are the, you know, two of the three that I listen to. And then she has a separate one that I have on an MP4. That's like a video. So it's not an MP3. It's an MP4. So it's an audio thing. And it's called the Billionaire Mindset. And so probably in the morning or in the evening, sometimes both, it just depends upon where I'm at and what I kind of need to do to kind of either settle my nerves or start my day or whatever the case may be. But I'll usually end the day, because that's usually, you know, I always think that's when your mind is most receptive to the healing your chakra and healing your ego. Because really what it does is I put it on my computer and I have it loud enough so I can hear, but not too loud and not too softly that I can't hear it, because I'm kind of hard of hearing in my right ear. Not that that's interesting to you in any way, shape, or form. But, for example, if I'm turned over on my left side and I've got crickets, and some people want to go smash crickets and all of that. I find crickets in the house all the time, you know, like a grasshopper type of crickets. In Eastern thinking, crickets are good luck, and so especially if you have crickets in your house. And I don't have, like, thousands of them, but I have – I don't know, probably two or three that, you know, are somewhere here in my room at some point. And they come in the door because I leave my side door open, which is open to the courtyard. And the crickets come in. And last year they used to chirp nonstop. And then it just drove me nuts. And I wanted to kill them all the time. And then I realized, I found out that the crickets are a good luck charm, especially if they're in your home. That means they're bringing you fortune. And I immediately stopped trying to squish all the crickets. And I would go and find the crickets, or the crickets would be out, you know, and around. I'd go like, well, hello, cricket. How are you today? Now, you think I'm nuts, but this is part of drinking the California Kool-Aid. And I swear I do this. Like, cricket, thank you very much for being here. I love the fact that you're bringing me good fortune today. I'm going to go to bed in about a half an hour. Now, so if you want to sing inside the house for that half hour, that's really, really cool. But can you do me a favor? When I go to bed, I would really like it if you didn't chirp if you're going to be in the house, because it's as lovely as it is, it's a little on the distracting side. You're going to think I'm nuts when I tell you this. They've stopped chirping in the house when I go to sleep. So, and they're actually pretty good. They don't chirp in the house. And that's if they're in the house, because most of the time they're outside. Now, if they're outside, it's kind of like a college frat party for crickets, because, you know, they're going crazy. So if I sleep on my left side, I can't hear a thing. I can hear the talking from Adrienne's, you know, energy healing download. I can hear, you know, lots of other stuff, but I don't hear that. And so if I turn over onto my right side, I hear every cricket, everywhere. I hear all the other frequencies, and it is just, it drives me out of my mind. So I have to, usually if I'm going to go to sleep and the crickets are having the fret party on the outside of the house, I sleep on my left side. So that way I can, you know, go to sleep. But I also sleep with my windows open, and I sleep with my door open so the dogs can go in and out if they have to go potty, because they're very good puppies like that. So that's that. So I go to bed listening to Adrian, and it is this really soothing thing. So I listen to the healing of the chakras. I listen to the healing of the ego. And then I have this other prosperity thing. It recites like, you know, I am worthy. I am abundant. I open all doors of opportunity. Again, found it on YouTube. Just absolutely love it. It's soothing to me. And I think if you're going to sleep, you should be soothed, because you will tend to sleep better and have nicer dreams. Since I've started doing that, I now sleep like a rock. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm just going to credit Adrian with this. If it's her fault that I'm getting a better night's sleep, I thank her for it. If it's just psychosomatic, I thank her for it. I don't care. All I know is that I go to sleep and it's like I am out like a light. 2 weeks ago, right out front at like 2 a.m, there was this major accident in the front of the house. Apparently, it woke everybody in the entire community except for me. And everybody the next day was like, it was like 2 a.m. Did you hear the sirens? Did you did? And I have my windows and doors open. Didn't hear a thing. And I think that's because Adrian gets me in this great zone, and I'm able just to get the sleep that I need. The other night, my roommate comes home at 3 a.m. He's a night shift nurse, so he works usually like 6 p.m. to 6:30 in the morning or something like that. And he was on call for an extra shift the other day. And he came home, I guess, around like 3 a.m. or 3:30. And I had no clue, because when I got up to extra, you know, because I usually am up by like 6, 6:30, if I'm really sleeping in late during the week, 7 o'clock, if you can believe that. But I'm up to get my first hour of cardio in, let the puppies out, make a cup of coffee, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm thinking that, okay, you know, he hasn't come home yet. Well, he's been home for 3 hours, and he's in, you know, his side of the house and, you know, sleep and all of that. And I'm thinking he's not home. Well, he was. I slept all the way through it. And so he says, well, I came home at 3:30. You didn't hear me walk in? I made a bunch of noise. It's like, I couldn't tell a thing. So Adrian Blackwell, I'm going to say this is your fault that I'm getting a good night's sleep, and I want to thank you for that. So with that being said, there are a couple of other things I want to talk about as well. And there is a couple of weeks ago we had this fantastic, delightful 6-time Emmy-winning recipient on our show. Her name is Jeanette Barber. Jeanette Barber is a comedian. She's a philanthropist. She's a do-gooder. She is a writer. She's been on the bestseller list on Amazon, and she was also an integral part of Rosie O'Donnell's talk show, you know, back in the daytime talk show. And then when Rosie went to Sirius XM a couple of years ago, Jeanette was kind of like her co-host or sidekick on that show. And then after Rosie was finished with her year of doing Sirius XM, Jeanette had a show on Sirius XM for another year. And then when that was up, Jeanette didn't have a show. But Jeanette has this incredible following. Jeanette is so fascinating to listen to. I don't know what it is about this woman. There are some people, when you listen to them on the radio, you say, you know, here, let me get you the Huntington Beach phone book, and you can just read that, and that will be delightful to me. Jeanette is one of those people. And so Jeanette will get on her show, which is called Completely Uninformed with Jeanette and Pete. You can go see it on Facebook, or go to JeanetteandPete.com. She does a new episode every Monday night. Pete edits it down, and then she puts it up. It's usually about an hour show. And right now, Pete's on a family leave for the summer because he has, like, a regular job. He has a new family, a growing family. And then he does this show with Jeanette, and, you know, like so many people do. So right now, it's just Jeanette on the show. And she talks nonstop for an hour. And it is fascinating. It is interesting. And you can't shut it off. In the best possible, I say it like this, but it's so not like this. It's kind of like, you know, you drive by a car accident. You don't want to look, but you look and you can't stop looking. Except with Completely Uninformed with Jeanette and Pete, you are listening to the show that is so interesting to listen to no matter what. You're like, I got to go pick up the kids. I have to go get the clothes out of the laundry. I heard the microwave beep 15 minutes ago. I need to go get my coffee out of it or whatever it is. You can't leave your computer or your, you know, I have it on my iPad, so I can actually listen to it while I'm doing my cardio. And if I, you know, only catch part of the show, I come in as I get ready to start to do my weights, and I put it up on the computer, and I listen to the rest of the show. And so she talks about everything from, you know, her cat to her, you know, her health issues to where she lives, her neighbors to Donald Trump to, you know, you name it. There's no topic that's off limits. And she is so engaging and so funny and so gracious. And she gives me plugs on her show all the time now, which I'm really grateful for. You know, I have the 6-time Emmy winner plugging Rated G Radio. Thank you, Jeanette Barber. But check out her show, Completely Uninformed with Jeanette and Pete. I think it is something that you will love, 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 love. Okay, so I've gushed on about people that I'm absolutely adoring right now. I'm going to give you a sneak preview right now. This is a, well, I say world premiere. I don't think it's really a world premiere. It's definitely a U.S. premiere for MDXP. This is his song called I Was the Fire. You will not hear this anywhere else in the United States today, except here on Rated G Radio. And you are also getting a sneak peek because we're really not playing this until tomorrow morning when we do our interview with him live at 9 a.m. So here is If I Was the Fire by MDXP. We'll be right back after this.
And there ain't no one else. I don't need another one to show me love. You do it over, girl. Roll over 12. I'll show you what you ain't never seen. Together we can live the dream. Running free, smoking trees, killing time with crazy memories. Cause I've been holding back, cause I've been busy. But you're the only one I message before I sleep. No matter where I am, I keep you with me. Cause all I see is you. Tunnel vision, you got my attention. No matter what I do, you are there. Tell me I'm not wrong for wanting this to grow. Oh, oh, oh. Cause all I see is you. Tunnel vision, you got my attention. No matter what I do, cause all I see is you. There ain't no hope in hell that I will let this fail. I don't need another one to show me love. You do it over, girl. I hold this story, I tell this tale. Forever I will believe in something worth fighting for. Only we can make this right. My attention, no matter what
MDXP. He goes, well, his name is Danny. So we're going to find out tomorrow. I guess that's what I need you to tell you. You've got to tune in tomorrow morning to find out if we call him MDXP or if we call him Danny. That is going to be the Dallas Cliffhanger of the week. I can't even believe it. I think I have that song mislabeled, too. I told you that was I Was the Fire, but I think that's All I See by MDXP. So I'm going to have to go back and make sure I've got those labeled correctly for tomorrow. A couple of birthdays I want to give big shout-outs to. Tony in Hackensack turns 25 this Saturday. So, Tony, hope you have a happy birthday. Linda is turning 59. Tomorrow, we've got Marcus turning 47. Diane out of St. Louis is 49. Michael is turning 65. Happy birthday to you. And today's birthdays include my cousin Dave Miller out of Mesa, Arizona. Dave is, I think Dave's 50. Is he 50 this year? Good Lord, he's getting old. Dave, I know you're listening, so happy birthday. Michael in San Diego, happy birthday. Daryl in Phoenix, happy birthday. Cherie out of Phoenix, we got a lot of Phoenix people, happy birthday to you. Jorge out of Phoenix as well, happy birthday. Tom, happy birthday. Dominic, happy birthday. And Alicia, I think you're right here in Huntington Beach, so happy birthday to you. Thank you for being part of the show tonight. You big plans for the weekend? I know that tomorrow with MDXP will be a fantastic show, but after that, I've got a lunch in Manhattan Beach with Stephanie. Now, Stephanie is a name that it doesn't mean anything to you, but this is a young lady that I met probably 6-8 months ago, something like that, at an event that I went to, and she said, I am here because I am blah, 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 but she lives in France. And she does movies in France. And whenever American shows or films are filming in France, she always gets hired because she not only speaks French, but she speaks English. Obviously, this is her first language. But she is going to be back here in LA. And she's got some actor friends. And we're meeting tomorrow at, I think, 1 o'clock. Where are we meeting? I have it. I have the place. It's in Manhattan Beach, and I just have the address. I thought I had the restaurant name, too. But if you see the yellow Camaro driving by, that will be me, and I can't wait. But sometime over the weekend, I'm going to go meet with RJ and Nolan. We're going to go see Mission Impossible. And then on Sunday, this will be really cool. You know, I think I've told you, I'm working on a sitcom. I've created a sitcom. I've co-written the said sitcom. And I've gotten a pilot and the first episode written and pretty much all the things done that you need to do, at least I think so, because I have a little cheat sheet. And I'm going to go ahead and meet with my co-writer, and we're going to iron out the last little bits of things. You know, it's one of those things that he has a full-time job. I've got the radio. I've got the music. I've got my book that I'm working on. I've got, you know, everything else that's happening in the world. And so he's like, we need to get together and get this worked out. We need to get together and get this worked out. I'm like, I know. So we're going to get together Sunday and get the last of the things worked out because we are going to end up pitching this at the end of the month to a good friend of mine who he's an award-winning screenwriter, and he's allowed me the opportunity to go and pitch him, which means practice, before I actually take it to the studios, and so I can get some good feedback about what I'm doing right, what I really suck at, and what I need to work on to improve. So I'm very excited about that. But so I've got a bunch of stuff that's going to be happening. The other thing that's happening in Southern California this weekend, it's hot as hell. It is crazy hot. It is 5 until 8. We got about 4 minutes before the show's over, and I'm going to try to even sneak in more music. I don't know how that's going to happen. But it is roasting here inside my place. I don't have air conditioning. And, you know, woe is me, trail of tears. So I just open up the window and there's my air conditioning, or I turn on the ceiling fan. I don't have that on during the show because I don't want you to hear this whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. But I can just go down to the beach if I really wanted to cool off. I probably should do that. It's been a few days. I've been so busy trying to get this 2 hours of cardio in 7 days a week. Some people might think that's a little on the crazy side, but it, you know, I get the hour done in the morning. That's for anxiety and stress during the day. And then, you know, the other hour is usually broken up into either 2 30-minute segments, and that is great. Or I do like this hour and a half walk down to the beach, and I have this 3 mile, I don't want to say path, but it's this 3 mile course that, you know, takes me, and I get to walk in the waves, and the waves come and, you know, wash my legs and my feet, and the ocean water is warm this time of year, and it is just absolutely the best. And I come back and get that done. But I'm doing all of that so I can stay in, you know, decent shape, because I will tell you, it took a lot of work to get the weight off this past year, and it wasn't that I had that much to lose, but now that I'm down into the high 170s for the first time in, like, you know, 15 years, I like being in the high 170s. And I honestly thought, you know, and all the other times that I've been losing weight over the, you know, the years, because I'd yo-yo anywhere from, you know, like 195 to 205 in that range. And that just, it's, you know, it just isn't a good look for me. It might be a good look for you. It might be a good look for a lot of folks. It just wasn't a good look for me. And I really wasn't sure if I was, you know, could even get down to 185 and maintain that. But when I got to 180, and, you know, and I actually technically got down to about 170 for like about a 38 seconds, that to me was, I was, you know, kind of like a little dizzy and lightheaded, and it's like, okay, I think that might be going just a little bit too far. But, you know, I'm wearing, you know, jeans that are like 30, 31s instead of 45s or 46s. You know, Garrett's been there, and really enjoy just everything about it. So my whole thing is, you know, I get up early, get my exercise done early. So that just is part of my DNA. I don't know how you start your day, but that's how I start my day for my DNA. And then I can get to the emails, and then I can get to the phone calls and, you know, everything else that I have going on. So in the late afternoon, when I can get in a second hour in some capacity, that to me is just like a huge bonus, you know, because I probably would do, you know, half an hour after the show, but usually after the show, I'm trying to get now the show, you know, set up for the YouTube. I've got people I'm interacting with for other spots, you know, et cetera, and then I just kind of get a little distracted, and before I know it, it's like 11 or 12, and it's like, shoot, I got to go to sleep so I can start the whole thing over tomorrow, which is what we're going to be doing, except tomorrow I'm going to have to get up extra early to get my cardio and weights in, because we have Mr. MDXP on the Friday dance party at 9 a.m., and that is going to be tomorrow. I can't wait to have you here. We're going to try to sneak this in. This is a little bit – I've got like a minute left, so I'm not really killing time. I'm just trying to give you another little sneak preview for what you can expect tomorrow with Danny. This is the song – I told you originally it was I Was the Fire. I think this is the song I Was the Fire. So we're going to see if my mislabeling is now corrected, and we'll see you live tomorrow morning on the Friday dance party. Have a great night, everybody.
Listening to Rated G Radio.